Okay, it's a schuss to be back together, everybody. First of all, before we begin tonight, I want to thank our sponsor tonight, an anonymous sponsor. And the anonymous sponsor, she and her family, called me the other day and wanted to sponsor tonight's shiur for Refu Shalema, as we all know, for Eliana Schwartz's father, Chaim Mordechai ben Rachel. Hopefully everyone's been davening for him. And Amir Tashem, the schus of the Torah tonight, the schus of the chizik, the zoris of tonight, should be a tremendous schus for his complete refuah shleima, bekarov mamish bez Hashem, besoch shar chol Yisrael. And I want to say, I was so moved. I'm not even sure if this sponsor is close with Eliana or her family, or just knows of her from our chevra and davening for her father. But she on her own wanted to do something, to be mechazek, the family, and to bring zchusim for his refuah. And that alone, without all the Torah and all the chizik azoris, itself will be tremendous, tremendous chus for a big refuah for Chaim Mordechai and Rachel. Everyone should continue to daven for him. Should have a refuah shleima, bekarov mamish. I've been asked by many to speak on tefillah. Something, of course, we've spoken about before, but there's no question, is the big avodah of these days. The avodah of these days, the avodah to daven. And how important is that we're davening? But before we even get there, I want to share a story. I want to start with a very special story, which connects to tefillah, but connects to everything we're doing right now together. There was once a yid, and this yid had a child, a son, who unfortunately was very, very sick. And he was davening and going for brachas, and he went to the tzaddik, Rav Yitzchok Vorker. Rav Yitzchok Vorker was a tremendous tzaddik, a gadol, known that his words would mamish bring nisim. And he went to Rav Yitzchok Vorker for a bracha for his child. Rav Yitzchok Vorker starts davening, and he looks at this man, he says, "I'm so sorry. I'm trying, I'm doing everything I can. But the Shari Shemayim, the gates of Shemayim are closed. They're locked. There's really nothing I can do, I'm so sorry." And this man, this man leaves. We can't imagine, downtrodden. As sad as could be, the tzaddik says he couldn't even do anything. And he leaves on his horse and buggy and he travels away, mamish tears streaming down his cheeks, like we can't imagine. About a half hour into his journey, he hears someone screaming from behind, "Stop, stop." He looks and he sees it's Rav Yitzchok Vorker caught up to him in his own chariot. And he stops his horse and buggy. And Yitzchok Vorker says to the man, "I'm so sorry." He says, "It's okay, I know, I understand, you tried." He says, "No, after you left, mamash, my heart was so pained. I couldn't handle it, I was so sad, and I realized, I tried to daven, and it's true, the gates of Shemayim have been locked and are closed, I'm not sure why. But I realized, there's something I can do for you. There's something I can do for you. I can cry with you. I can cry together with you. I can be there with you by your side." And together, these two men, Rav Yitzchok Vorker and this yid, they sat on the side of the road. And Rav Yitzchok Vorker was crying, tears streaming down his cheeks, crying for this man and for his son. And the man realized he's never cried such tears before. Rav Yitzchok Vorker just met him, was crying such bitter tears that he's never cried, and he started crying more for his son, for the Rafu, and the two of them are just crying. Rav Yitzchok Vorker is crying for the pain of this man, and the man's crying about his son. And suddenly, Rav Yitzchok Vorker stops crying. Suddenly he stops crying. And he looks at the man, he says, "Do you happen to have," in a simchatic voice, he says, "Do you happen to have any wine? Do you have any wine in the back of your wagon?" He says, "Yeah, I happen to. Let's make a lechayim. Let's make a lechayim to thank Hashem. I just saw that the gates opened up, our tefillahs have been answered, and your son's going to be fine. Your son's had a complete refuah." And kach aveh, that lechayim, and the son was completely healed. The gates of Shemayim are never closed to tears. So sometimes we feel like our tefillos are not getting through. We have to show emotion. We have to be crying. But I have a different take on this story. It's not just that the gates of Shemayim are never closed to tears. We just have to daven more and put in more emotion, more feeling. Maybe part of it is also feeling for each other. Part of the schus of the refuah of that son was not just the tefillos and the tears, but with the care that Rav Yitzchok Dvorker had for this other yid. We're getting here together tonight to learn Torah, to grow in the schus of a refuah for Chaim Mordechai ben Rachel. But that also shows how much we care about Eliana and her mishpacha, and that itself should be a big schus for a big refuah shleim of Bez Hashem. But we also have to remember, let's daven with that type of emotion, with daven with tears, for Eliana's father, and Besoch Shar Chal Yisrael, so many yidin need our tefillos. Those that we know and those that we don't know, we have to daven for. And daven for the end of this terrible tzara that each and every one of us is going through. But let's learn how to daven properly. First and foremost, I believe this is the time in the year for tefillah on the highest of levels. I saw tremendous Torah. The Rav of Sanz Kloisenberger has a sefer Divrei Yatziv. You know, the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chavav Mebeis, famously tells us that the tefillos that we daven are bimkom avos. The tefillos that we daven are in the place of our forefathers. That we all know, Avram Avinu, he went, and Avram Avinu was Misakin Shachris. And Yitzchak Avinu was Misakin Mincha. And Yaakov Avinu was Misakin Mairv. That our tefillos are B'makom Avos. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were the ones who defined our tefillos. But listen to what the Kloisenberger Rebbe says. And he has rayas in the Sefer. He says that each of those tefillos, the Shachris of Avram, the Mincha of Yitzchak, the Meiriv of Yaakov, you know when they were misaking them? You know when Avram davened that very first Shachris? When Yitzchak davened that very first Mincha? When Yaakov davened that very first Meiriv? It was all on the first day of Pesach. It all began now. Which tells us, if that's when it began, that these days, and for sure Pesach, but I believe strongly the days leading up to Pesach, have a very special koyach atfilah. The days of Achana, the days of preparation, the days we're in already, the month of Nisan, or Achana for that yontiv. And the tefillos were misakein. Then, the tefillos were misakein on that day. That means this is a special time to daven. And a special time when Hashem will be mekabel our tefillos, will accept our tefillos, each and every one of us. You know, when we daven our yontiv tefillos, Be'ezer Hashem, a week from tonight, Chevra, a week from tonight is Pesach, the Eilig Yontiv of Pesach. We're going to daven our yontiv tefillos. In our yontiv Shemona Esra, we say the words, Vasienu Hashem Elokeinu Espir Kas Moadecha L'chayim U'L'Shalom. What do those words mean? What does it mean, Vasienu? The art scroll gives a definition, but it's not such a good definition. The art scroll said Hashem should bestow upon us the blessing of the Yontiv for Chayim and for Shalom, for life, for health, for peace, which is what we want so badly. So it says Vasienu is to bestow upon us. It's not really what the word means. The Halakha Avadraham, Rav David Avadraham, wrote a pirush on the Siddur and explains what really the words of the Siddur really mean. And the Avadraham there says an incredible idea. Vasienu is from Lashon Nasa, which means to bear. Like to bear a burden, to be able to hold a burden, to hold something very strongly, something very heavy. So the Avadraham explains that the Gemara in Sota Daf Lamed Dalet Amid Beis. The Gemara Sarah says something which at first would seem strange, but when we think about it, it actually makes a lot of sense. So when a person could hold something, could bear something, so they bear a certain amount of weight. But that's only one third the amount they could bear as if they'd be holding with somebody else with a similar strength. So you'd think if I'm holding with someone else, if someone else was holding it with me, it would double the amount I could hold, right? Because we're two people. But no. There's an exponential growth. When two people hold something, the Gemara says, they could hold three times as much as one person. It's an amazing thing. The koach of achdus, of unity, of two people together. Vasienu means to bear for us. When we're davening for Hashem, bear with us way more than we could deserve on our own. We're going to daven on Yontif, and we're davening now. And maybe based on our zechusim and who we are and what we've done, we deserve a certain level of merits. Vasienu Hashem Lekenu. We're asking Hashem, you're the one to bear with us. And if Hashem's the one to bear with us, it's not just three times as much. It's mamish, there's no number. Ain't sof how much bracha and shalom we can gain through our tefillos. Vasienu Hashem Lekenu. Espirchas Madechas through the schus. It's through the schus of Pesach and the schus of Nisan that we're in already. Hashem will bear for us and give us such simcha and such bracha and refuos and yeshuos. All through our tefillos. All through our tefillos. It's all dependent on our tefillos. The koyach of our tefillos, we understand what we can achieve through tefillah. And specifically, the tefillos of these days, which is when Avram made chakras and Yitzchak made mincha and Yaakov made ma'ariv. And realize that's what we're davening. Hashem, bear it with us. Answer our tefillos. Answer our tefillos in abundance. Much more than we deserve. Everything in life, we have to daven for. There's a story of a tzaddik. And this tzaddik, you could imagine, before Pesach, was cleaning mamish. Halachically, you're let have. We go above and beyond. This tzaddik went above and beyond, you could even imagine. Every little dust particle was crystal clean his entire house. And the bedikas chametz for hours upon hours. And beer chametz burnt the chametz. And bitterly meant every word. He nullified all his chametz. He got prepared for Pesach on the highest of levels. One day, Yontif Pesach, he's sitting by his suda, and he couldn't believe he's eating a soup, and he sees a kernel of wheat in his soup. Mamish, a kernel of wheat in his soup. How could it be? And he was so distraught. He was so upset. He didn't know what to do, but he was a big tzaddik. He knew how to do something very special. You and I, we don't know how to do things like this, but there's something called, Kabbalistically, a Shailas Chalom. You could ask a Shailat Hashem, and in a Chalom, in a dream, he'll answer you. Again, we don't know how to do this. At least I don't know how to do this. Maybe some of you, Nashim Tikkanias, you're way holier than I am. I don't know how to do this. But he was able to do this as a Tzaddik, and he does a Shailas Chalom, and he has a dream that night. And in that dream, it's revealed to him that he did an incredible cleaning, and he did an incredible bedika and beer. He did everything right. Kedasu kedim. Where did this grain come from? There was a bird, and the bird had a little bit of grain, a kernel of wheat in his mouth. And the bird flew over his house and dropped it into the chimney, and it came down and blew right into his soup. He didn't do anything wrong. It was a complete accident. That's how it happened. Why did Hashem let this happen? In the dream it was revealed to him, because as long as he did everything, he did all the proper melachos. You know what he didn't do? He didn't daven. He didn't daven that he should be free of chametz on Pesach. He didn't daven that Hashem should keep all the chametz out of his house. That's why Hashem wanted to remind him. The world runs on tefillah. We could do our part, but in the end we have to daven for everything. There's nothing we do alone. It's all with Hashem's help. It's only through the koyach tefillah. We have to remember that. With that koyach tefillah, v'asiyenu Hashem lekeinu, espirkas modech l'chaim l'shalom. Hashem will help us bear much more than we even deserve through our schosim. Tell you another story, similar story. From the Heilige Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem HaKadosh. So the Baal Shem Tov, he had a Talmud of Rav Davidel of Mikolova. One time he sent Rav Davidel early in the year, it was already the end of the summer. And he says, I want you to travel to Serbia to get very special mehudar wine for Pesach. The Baal Shem was already thinking about Pesach and having the proper wine, because already at that time in the year, El and Tishrei, they already were harvesting the grapes in this makom, and he wanted everything to be watched from the beginning. Everything was kedas or gedin. We know there are halachos of goyim touching the wine, and it's halachically yayin nesech. We can't have that. He wanted everything done properly, so he sent this talmid of his, this chassid, and this chassid travels far journey to Serbia. And he's there, El, and he watches every grape that's going to be used for his wine picked. And he watches Mamish. He watches. He watches Mamish. Every single grape picked. And he watches all the grapes being squeezed. He's watching every little thing. He's the Mashkiach. And he waits. And he has to stay there, El and Tishrei. It's not until after Sukkot. He's there over 2 months till they finally, the wine is ready. It's in the barrel, but it's aging a little bit. And then till it's ready to go into the bottles. And he finally, it's ready. It's in the bottles. He watched everything. And he's so excited to bring his Rebbe, the Baal Shem HaKadosh, this holy, holy wine. And he travels back with his wagon full of wine. And he gets back into his country. And there's border police. There's border police. And the border police stop him. And the border police were having at the time a tax on liquor and whiskey. Not on wine, on liquor and whiskey. And they see that he has tons of bottles and they ask him, what is it? He says, all wine, it's all yayin, it's fine. Some Jew, they didn't believe him. And he said he promises and for his rabbi and he made him go in the back and open it up. And what did they do, these non-Jews? They went and they, to know that it for sure was emes, they stuck their hand into the wine and felt and tasted. And kagave, it was wine. They let him go. But they were poigim all the wine. They made all the wine yayin nesech. They made all the wine that it was no longer kosher wine. Forget about mahudr. His 2.5 months was wasted. Every moment wasted. He was so distraught, so sad. He finally makes it to the Baal Shem and he's crying and crying. Baal Shem looks at him, says, my chassid, I love you, you're amazing, don't feel bad. And he says, but why did this happen? Why did this have to happen? What did I do? What happened? Baal Shem looks at him and says, what do you mean? You went and you spent all the effort and all the time, but you did daven that it will all go well? Did you daven that you'll be zocher to bring me this wine, the mahudr wine? Did you daven for it? Or did you trust yourself? I could take care of it. I knew I could do it all. You didn't think you need Hashem at all. If you would have davened, everything would have went well. This is what Baal Shem told him. The world runs on tefillah. And we're learning this more than ever these days. More than ever these days. Is there anyone that doesn't recognize and realize that we are so helpless? There's nothing we can do alone. We need Eibishter for everything. Every little thing we need Eibishter for. We need Eibishter to allow us to go outside. We need Eibishter to allow us to have minyanim. We need the Eibishter by our side and everything. And therefore we have to daven for it. We have to daven for everything that we want and everything that we need. And never stop davening. And that davening Hashem will answer Vasienu Hashem Lakenus Birkas Mu'adecha L'chaim L'shalom. The tefillos of Pesach, the tefillos of Nisan are the tefillos of all year. And Hashem will bear it all much more than any zechustim we could have on our own. But don't forget, we need the tefillah. And that's the only answer, is tefillah. Are we davening well these days? I know we're b'yichidus. I know we're alone in solitude. We don't have shul. As Nashim Tzikonios, let's be real, we hardly daven the minyan anyways. We're used to this. But it's different in our homes. But Emma says, you don't think you have Hashem by your side every moment when you're davening? You need to be in shul, you need to be with minyan. Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz said so beautifully, what's the Hebrew word that we're alone and we're in bidud? We're davening in bidud. Beis yud dalet vav dalet. Beis yud dalet vav dalet is gematria 26. 26, we know, is yud ke vav ke, havaya, Hashem's name. When we're in bidud, we're in solitude, we're with Hashem. It's all I need. That's all I need when I'm davening. Who else do I need? Are we crying every day? Are we crying every day that there are Yidden that are on respirators and the Yidden that are in hospitals and nobody can even go visit them? No one can even be by their side? The Chevra knows this past Shavuos I was in a hospital for a few days. There wasn't a moment that either my wife or my son wasn't by my side. And they were incredible. And I don't know what I would have done without them by my side. Without my Eishes Chayil, my Tzadikis of an Eishes Chayil, my Bechor, Tzadik of a son, who didn't leave my side for those 3 days. And whether it was just comforting me, or whether it was getting the, whatever I needed from a nurse, from a doctor. And now these Yidden have nobody by their side. Are we crying for them? Are we davening for them? Not just Eliana's father, but Aliyid and B'Soluk Sharchel Yisrael. Are we davening? Are we davening for all the Yidden who lost their jobs? Are we davening to be back in shul, that we don't have shul? That B'derech HaTeva, we're not going to be in shul on Pesach. Hopefully that's going to change. We can't be makabel that, and we're going to daven for it. But are we really davening every day? That's what we could do. Everyone, what could I do now? Our hands are up. We're just stuck in our homes. What could I do? We could daven. We could daven. We could zog tillim. Say all tillim every day. My wife's Bubby of a Shalom. She lived in Williamsburg, and she sat and said all of tillim every day of her life. All of tillim every day of her life. Are we saying tillim these days when the world needs it so much, when the other Yidden need it so much? We're crying the tears of Yitzchak Vorker for other Yidden, even if I don't feel my tefillahs are going through, and the tefillahs will go through. It can't just be a tefillah, rote, mechanical, Hebrew reading exercises. We need our hearts. We need our lev. The Ben Yehoyada in the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yudom Ebeiz. The Gemara says when you daven, al yamod b'makom gavoa, don't stand on a very high place. Al yamod b'makom gavoa, v'yispal on daven, el b'makom namoch v'yispal, but daven from a low place. Some shuls, I've seen it, Orachaim, Yeshivas Orachaim in Queens, where the chazin stands, they have an indent that you should be lower than everybody else. It's very interesting, because of this Gemara. Physically to be lower. The Ben Yoyoda says it means something much deeper. You know what a high place is? If you take your body, the high place is your mouth. Your mouth is towards the top. That's the makom gavoa. Your heart is makom nomoch, is much lower on the body. Don't daven from the high place, from your mouth. It shouldn't just be lip service. Daven from a low place, daven from your heart. It should be an emotional experience, full of feeling, hartzig. A hartzig daven with tears. Put ourselves in the shoes of these families and these individuals. Imagine where they are, because they are us. We are them. We are one. To feel their pain and daven with that feeling. Not just rote mechanical, because my father and his father taught me that you're supposed to daven. My mother taught me you're supposed to daven. In Parshas Bishalach, when the Jews, the Yidden, are standing at the Yamsuf. And imagine this moment. They felt the terror. They have a sea in front of them. And they have the Mitzrim. They have the Egyptians running after them, wanting to kill them. You can imagine that moment in time. And the Pasuk says, in Perek Yudal, Pasuk Yud, Vayiru Ma'od, they were very frightened. Vayitz'aku b'nei Yisrael Hashem, and they screamed out to Hashem. And a few things later we say, Hashem says to Moshe, Matzitzaklai, why are they davening? I don't want their tefillos. They should just do. But why didn't Hashem want their tefillos? He said, just go in, and it will split, and that's what happened. But why, Matzitzaklai? What do you mean, why, Matzitzaklai? That's what we do, we daven. That's what you want from us, Hashem, I thought. That's what you want more than anything in the world, to daven. Why does Hashem say, Matzitzaklai? Why are you davening to me? I thought we're doing right, Vitzaku b'nei Yisrael, we're davening. That's what we're supposed to be doing. What does Rashi say? Vayitzaku el Hashem, bnei Yisrael Hashem, when they daven. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Tafsu umnos avoysam." They grabbed onto the umnos. They grabbed onto the job of their fathers. I mean, what their father's occupation was. In other words, their tefillah was just rote and mechanical because my father davened, so I know I'm supposed to daven. Our tefillah should be an emotional outpouring of our soul. How could I not daven to Hashem in a situation like we're in today? If it's just because my father davened, so I'm davening mechanically, robotically, out of rote. Matitzakalai, what comes screaming is that? That's not what I want. Hashem says. Hashem says, I want emotional, deep tefillah min halev. Dvarim hayoytzim min halev nechnasim el halev. Our tefillos that leave our lev will enter the heart of Hashem. Hashem won't be able to turn them away. He just can't. Sometimes, you know, we have to reestablish our tefillos as emotional outpourings of our heart and our soul. You know, imagine as follows. Imagine, l'mashal, I'll give you a mashal. Imagine you're trying very hard to get an audience with the president. You have a request, a very important request, and you're working and you get through all the politicians and all the ins, and finally, you get a date. You're going to be able to speak to the president, be able to request and plead for whatever it is that you want. And you get in on that day, and you walk in, and you pull out the face, and you pull out a piece of paper, and you start reading in a monotone voice, "My dear president, can I please have X, Y, and Z? I deeply would be thankful. Yours truly." Imagine, you just like read off a paper. The president's going to look at you like, "This is really? I'm the president. Where's your emotions? Where's your feeling? Where's your passion?" When we daven, we have an audience with the Melech Malchei Hamlochin, the King of all kings. And we just open up our siddur, and we take out a siddur, and we say daily, mechanically, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hakel Hagadol Hagibur, as if it's just Hebrew reading exercises, like we're back in nursery school. Just Hebrew reading exercises. We need heart, we need soul, we need passion in our tefillos. Shouldn't just be Tafsu Umnos Avosam, the occupation of our forefathers. But I know, sometimes it's disheartening. Because sometimes we daven and we daven and we daven, and we pour out our souls and we have that heart. We don't get the right answers. And we don't get the answers we're looking for. First of all, it doesn't mean that our tefillah is not being answered. For all we know, we helped in tremendous ways that we can't even see, and the person suffered much less. Or we don't know anything, and where those tefillahs will be. But, you know, we spoke about this a few weeks ago. By Purim time, we had a shir on tefillah. And we said that Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 tefillahs. And at 515, Hashem says, "Al toisef, don't continue." You know why he said don't continue? Because if he would have continued, Hashem would have answered his tefillos. And it wasn't best for Moshe to enter to Yisrael. Sfarim speak about it. We'll say it very quickly now. Maybe we'll develop this another time. But then Ziva Shalom brings down from others that if Moshe would have entered Eretz Yisrael, he would have built the Beis HaMikdash. It would have been a Beis HaMikdash that was so powerful and so holy that it could never be destroyed. And then instead of us being destroyed, we ultimately were saved because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But the Beis HaMikdash couldn't be destroyed, we would have been destroyed. So it helped us for not allowing Moshe to enter Eretz Yisrael. So that's just a side point. Moshe couldn't enter Eretz Yisrael. If he would have davened, Hashem says, don't daven anymore. In other words, because if you would daven more, I'd have to answer your tefillahs. We never know which number tefillah is finally going to be that one that tips the scale. Don't stop. Don't stop. You never know which tefillah will have that power. Which number tefillah will have that power. Which number Hashem is waiting for. We never know. We can't stop davening. We got to believe in our koach ha-tefillah. Believe in the power of a tefillah, the power of emotional, heartsick tefillah. And then Vasienu Hashem Lekeinu is Berachot Melech Chaim Shalom in incredible ways. But let's believe in that. Let's believe in that in the most incredible of ways. You want to hear how powerful tefillah is? I saw an incredible medrash. Medrash, I never saw this medrash before. It's in Shmos Rabba, Yud Aleph Aleph. And there, in Parshas Ve'era, so Hashem, if you look in Parshas Ve'era, Ve'era Perek Zayin Pazik Tasvav. When Hashem tells Moshe to go warn Paro for the Makos, he says, Lech El Paro Baboker. Lech El Paro Baboker. Go to Paro in the morning. When he's telling about the first Makkah, about Dam, to go to Paro in the morning. Why does he need to go to him in the morning? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu going to Paro Baboker in the morning? So the Medrash says, I'll read you the words. I can't believe that's such a Medrash, but it's a Medrash. Because Paro was going to daven in the morning. That's when people daven. And even Paro is going to daven. Kacha Yaparo rotza lasuk b'tfila. Paro wanted to daven. B'amar kodesh baruch l'moshe. Atshelo yetze leich v'tziyatev l'fanov. Go beat him to his tefillah before he has a chance to daven. Go and stand in front of him baboker right away in the morning. I don't want to give Paro the chance to daven because there's a power of even Paro's tefillahs. Maybe Paro's tefillahs will have some sort of effect. So make sure you go early so you can beat Paro's tefillahs. Imagine, Chevra. The Medrash telling us even Paro's tefillahs, Hashem! Is it testing that even Paro's tefillos have power? Paro, the Rosh Shebichol Rishon, the Rambam uses him as the primary example, the quintessential example of a Rosh who doesn't, Hashem takes away his Bechira, he can't even do right anymore. Only Paro. Yet his tefillos even have power. Hashem says, I want you to go before he davens. I don't want his tefillos to take hold. To give him any schusim. Alachas kama v'kama, our tefillos. Do we understand the power of our tefillos? What we can achieve, what we can do. To believe in our tefillos, believe in the power of our tefillos. But they have to be with heart. And they have to be with soul. And at one time there was a man. The man was trekking through the desert. The desert was boiling hot, the sun was beating down, and somehow he misjudged and he ran out of water. And he was mamish so thirsty, he felt he didn't have that much longer to live if he didn't get himself some water. Suddenly he sees a man, and this man is jugs full of water on his shoulders. And this first man falls at his feet, crying and pleading with water, for the water. The man with the water, of course, helps him. And the man with the water gives him water to drink and saves his life. But he says to him, why are you doing this to me? Why are you on the floor? And why are you crying and pleading in such a way? He says, what do you mean? You hold the keys to my life. You're the only one that could save me. You're the only one that could save my life. Without you, I'm gone. I owe everything to you. I'm going to give everything I have. Because I know and I trust in you. You're the only one. I'm dependent on you for everything. So I'm going to give my whole heart and soul. If we only realized that each and every one of us is dependent on Hashem for everything. We're dependent on Hashem to bring refuos. We're dependent on Hashem to keep us healthy. We're dependent on Hashem to wake us up in the morning. We're dependent on Hashem for our parnasa. We're dependent on Hashem for our family. We're dependent on Hashem for everything. We have to realize that and think like that every time I daven and cry to Hashem and plead with Hashem and be one with Hashem, realizing it's all dependent on Hashem. Those are the type of tefillos, devarim hayotzim min halev. Without kavana, the Shlach HaKadosh says, a tefillah b'li kavana k'guf b'li neshama. A tefillah without a neshama, without kavana, is like a body without a soul. You know what a body without a soul is? 6 feet under, lo aleinu. God forbid. We have to realize the world runs on tefillah. Everything is dependent on our tefillah. And not tefillah that's rote and mechanical, like Rashi points out, was by the splitting of the sea. But deep tefillahs. Hartzik tefillahs. Now's the time. That's what you want to know. Everyone's asking, what is our avoda during these days? What does Hashem want from us? He wants us to daven. He wants us to feel. He wants us to feel the pain of others. He wants to cry with others. like Rav Yitzchak Vorker taught us, to cry with others, to be there with others, but to daven for others, and to daven with others. And if we daven in such a way, and daven with such heart, and soul, and passion, we'll be zoyche v'asiyenu Hashem l'kenus birkas ma'adecha, l'chayim u'l'shalom. We'll have life, and life is all-encompassing. Life is health, and parnasa, and simcha, and shalom, and peace. What more do we want? So chevre, let's just daven. Let's daven with all our hearts and soul. Until we're zoyche, first and foremost, this should be over with. And hopefully this will be over with the Gula Shleima, b'meher v'meinu b'karav ma'amish bez Hashem esbarach. I want to just end tonight. Don't leave. I want to end. We had this shir on tefillah. It was all refu shleima for Chaim Mordechai ben Rachel. How could we not end shir tonight with one kapitel tillim? With davening together. You're all muted. There's no reason we can't do this together. I'll lead one kapitel tillim and you all in the privacy, b'chidus and bidud with Hashem of your own homes. We're going to say one kapitel tillim. I'll make a mishaberech for Chaim Mordechai ben Rachel, b'soch shar chol Yisrael, and have in mind him and all the cholim in Klal Yisrael. A big tefillah me'amkas alev. And that's, I think, no more special way to end this year tonight.